Hey, welcome once again, Junkaholics.
You join us on the SS Junk Dilemmas. That's James blowing into a bottle for the pleasure of my cat.
It's not, it's Panpipe Fever, Volume 4.
So we're back again for part two of Skyme Boys.
Part two, for our French listeners.
Please listen to part one for it to make any sort of sense.
Part one won't make any sense.
No, probably not. But yeah, we're back again. James is still drinking away, blowing into bottles.
I won't do it again.
No, you can if you want. Whoa, that was a loud one. But we'll pick up where we left off. So we get into the New Year's celebrations.
Oh, the New Year's.
Hogmanay, as they like to call it over there. And we learned that Begbie has quite a good singing voice on him.
Well, he's a rapist as well. He raped her on the way over. Remember that?
He what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, forcefully has sex with her, literally on the way to the whatever flat they're going to or whatever. Just pulled her down an alleyway in the middle of the group. Yeah.
I don't think he even goes down the alleyway. He just,
does he not?
No. Just in like a doorway.
But well, he doesn't like praise.
He fucking hates it.
His boat started telling him how good he was at singing and he basically...
Shut the fuck up, you cunt.
Sees that as a sign of weakness or something. Yeah. Renton eventually heads off and he shoots up with this girl, Leslie, has an intimate moment with her. So this is the girl that ends up having the baby who ends up dying in Drainspot. Mm. So, and I suppose it's kind of...
the one with the big novice. He wastes the opportunity because he doesn't like anyone who's not disgustingly skinny.
Could be her. I think it's more the fact that they're so fucking out of it on heroin that by the time he gets a horn on him, it's the moment has passed. But he does, some of the lads do come in and catch him lying down with her. So he has the reputation that he has shagged her, even though he didn't.
Yeah.
And that ironically comes into play in Trainspotting when trying to figure out or at least wonder who the actual father of that baby that dies was. But it kind of comes out that it was Sick Boy. But Renton certainly wasn't a father because he didn't even write her. But Begbie then afterwards goes into business with this guy, Nelly, who's kind of a mate of his, another half-hard cunt, but he does be at loggerheads with him a bit as well. There's a bit of competition going on there. But they basically meet up with this guy, Davey Power.
The big man.
Who's known as Fat Tyrone. I can't remember why. But well, it's not the big man from Ecstasy, but he is a big man. He's a fat Tyrone man.
But from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Well, he's in glue, Davey Power. I know that. But the chapter, there's a funny chapter narrated by Begbie where he's sent by your man Power down to one of the pubs who's run by his uncle Dickie, who wasn't actually his uncle, but was mates with his uncle years ago. It was actually a really nice bloke to him. Bringing him out to the fucking cinema.
That wasn't a funny one. That was terrible.
Well, I feel bad now. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It's absolutely terrible.
It is terrible. I'm sorry. You're right. Just the way you could see it coming, and he's so psychotic where he's sound to the outfit because he was mates with him. And then just realizes, basically he's manipulated by your man Davey Power into going, well, you know, on your head be it kind of thing. And then just goes back and batters this outfit. And he is an outfit.
Himself. Yeah, he's been fucking 80.
Yeah, it is quite bad, yeah.
It's terrible.
When I say funny, I mean funny strange, not ha-ha. But anyway, moving on swiftly. Renton's dad, Davey is Renton's dad. Mm. So he's Davey Senior, not Billy Senior. They're obviously starting to get worried about Renton being on drugs. You know, they're hearing all these rumours, as is his poor mother. But when he goes to the pub, he has a run-in with your man Dixon.
Yeah.
Because he sees, he sees a badge. Is it a miner's?
Miner's one, yeah.
And your man Dixon, of course, being the next copper, says something smart to him. Mm. And then he says something back to him, something horrible about some fella that got fucking decapitated or something in one of a copper. Yeah. So I'm assuming that was a real event.
But, you think so?
Pretty horrific. But Billy, Renton's brother, who's, you know, a soldier and a bit of a hard cunt in his own right, overhears this and then basically goes out the back and absolutely maims your man Dixon.
He deserves it, first.
And Billy and his mates totally fucking ransack the pub.
I promise,
make the news and everything. Yeah. Put a stool through the TV, the whole lot. And I think Dixon ends
blame
up...
Blame it on Jambos.
They blame it on the Jambos. I think Dixon ends up in a wheelchair then.
Hopefully, yeah.
I think he does, yes. It's not hopefully about it. So he finally gets his comeuppance. Tommy eventually woos Lizzie, who, of course, the famous Lizzie from Trainspotting, of course. And she has to adapt to his lowly friends.
Not for long, though. She fits him over it fairly quick.
Well, exactly, yeah. There is a funny bit where Ren or Begbie calls at the house looking for him, basically trying to get him to go down to the match and beat the fuck out of people. But Tommy has fallen for her big time, and I suppose it's a bit of a tragic foreshadowing of things to come for him. And he wants to definitely step away from the likes of Begbie and the whole football hooliganism. I think Allison's brother is caught up in the hooliganism as well.
Young lad.
He's in the casuals. Mm. She meets Begbie afterwards then on a park bench. And he's looking quite sinister, looking across at the pub. And he informs her that June had been pregnant but lost the baby.
Mm.
So this is horrific stuff here as well.
He was trying to comfort him. Then he goes, the fucking stupid bitch.
Yeah, he basically says that he fucking, it's horrible. Like he's no sympathy for her at all. No. It says it was because she was drinking. That's why she lost the baby. Mm. And isn't he fucking rubbing her dirty knickers in her face and everything?
Yeah.
Like it's not nice. And then he fucking absolutely paralyzes some dude. Does he stab him? When he comes out of the club, we don't see it.
We just hear the ambulance.
Allison hears something as she's walking away, and then we hear afterwards that Begbie's ended up in prison. Second prize is off the gear then. Spud is kind of has another chapter where he's kind of going through a day in his life in Leith. He visits Begbie in prison, who is grateful yet not.
Touches him to fuck off.
He goes, I'm glad you came in, but you're fucking wasting your time. And you just know if no cunt went to fucking visit him, he'd be absolutely gunning for them afterwards. Yeah, he meets everyone at this Spud who's around at the time. Second prize, who's a new man. He's out jogging all this shit. Matty, who's just in fucking bits.
And smelly.
Yes, and Spud never really got on with him anyway.
No one did.
He's horrible. But yeah, it's just a good description of...
Whose clothes did he rob off the line? Was a renting or a sick boy?
Sick boy mentions sick boy, that, yeah. They go to town on them afterwards, yeah. So he's robbing clothes. And as they said, rob clothes to sell them on, but not to wear yourself. Spud ends up in hospital then with botulism.
Oh, it's in fucking bits.
It's wound botulism, apparently, which is from needle punctures. Yeah. So not good. There's a funny bit where the doctor is coming in talking to him about he's going to make him a kind of case study for the wound botulism, and suppose like, doctor, that'd be grand.
Fucking beneath the fuck, I'll tell you.
The two other lads are still down in London.
Making shite themselves.
Indeed. And, well, we get a couple of chapters from Nixie's point of view, and this is pretty horrendous stuff as well.
So horrible,
he sees two young fellas throwing a puppy down the rubbish chute. And goes down to retrieve it.
Yes.
Finds the puppy, but also finds a fetus.
A dead baby.
So there's a pretty horrific description of what this looks like and everything. And he realizes...
Turns out it's his.
Yes, he realizes it was his. He sees a likeness. Now, it's not a formed baby or anything, but he sees a likeness to himself in it, which doesn't speak for his good looks. But so he's heartbroken that this Jamaican girl who... Tam Dean Byrne does brilliantly.
Oh, Jesus. Horrendous.
I didn't really notice that, I have to say.
It was fun.
She's not in it too much, thankfully.
No, she's a wagon.
But,
sick boy rides her.
Well, exactly.
And she ruins his money making scam with the rich
yes. And then you have you're wondering, was it actually Sick Boy's baby? That was not Nixie's. But anyway, it's another detailed example of how low mankind can
go. No, I think Nixie was with, they were, Nixie's with your woman before they arrived.
All right, okay,
Because he was a lonely bastard.
So it was his.
Yeah.
But what we do get then is none other than Junk Dilemmas number one. So Junk Dilemmas started in Trainspotting, and it's basically, it's like Renton's inner thoughts about the kind of perils he faces in life when all he wants is skag. Yeah, I think in Trainspotting we're up to like Junk Dilemmas number 200 and something. Yeah, something ridiculous like that. Well, we get number one here. And obviously, this is pretty much the birthplace of our namesake, James.
Our patron saint.
Our patron saint, JD. But we see, you know, Renton's account of poor Nixie going downhill. He basically tries to commit suicide. He's
Well, it was a terrible attempt.
It was a terrible attempt, yeah. Renton and Sick Boy are coming back with these posh birds and seeing him on the top of the flats. And
they have a load of heroin in the house as well, so they're going mad. That's all they care about.
And that's where it all comes out, that Sick Boy was shagging this one, Marsha, too. Yeah. And she lets the cat out of the bag that he's, you know, been riding all around him.
Mm.
And it's the posh bird was called Lucinda. And he was just about to propose to her. So that's gone tits up as well. He was fancies his chances on getting into the histocracy. Histocracy?
Aristocracy.
That's it.
Histocracy is
just not a word, really.
Well, it is now.
But yeah, they scramble to remove or hide the gear when the coppers. Yeah. And the copper has a good quote, actually. I didn't take it down where he's talking about, you know, you just have to get on with life and you know, things will work out. And Renton says, oh, what if it doesn't work out? And the copper says, well, that window is still in your hair. Sick Boy does actually mention when he's doing a little narration on the chapter when they're standing outside. And Renton's obviously fucking in bits from Skag and just wants to get in and comatose in the flat. But Sick Boy mentions that Renton has his arms folded in a certain way. And it's basically the kind of famous Renton pose from the cover of Trainspotting, which I thought was good. Another little Easter egg in there.
Yeah, that was shite.
Renton in the family home then, you know, this is kind of the start from coming in and just robbing shit. Well, he comes in to get his own records, first of all. We know.
Well, they've overstayed their welcome in London, shall we say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's it's time to back up home. So he's up to basically robbing not his parents straight away, but he's robbing the house and robbing his own stuff, certainly to sell on. Billy is thinking of going into the army again. And Renton's talking about how he remembers all Billy's Jambo paraphernalia from when they were growing up. And I liked as well, he mentions that Billy had constructed it like with a strip of masking tape across the floor and called it the Berlin Wall. So Renton wasn't allowed to go on that side. And that reminds me of Donnie and Iggy, two brothers that we know who had the Iron Curtain, which was a similar device. But yeah, so Renton's just falling out with his parents left, right and centre here because the rumours are...
He's a dirty wanker.
Well, exactly, yeah. I liked the bit as well where his mother's trying to get them all to sit down and eat a dinner of mints and tatties.
It's all, went into great detail about this. It sounded fucking rotten.
It really
did.
And that reminded me of another certain family that we know, a set of brothers who were all off their face on fucking... ecstasy tablets on Christmas Eve and then couldn't eat their Christmas dinner.
Oh, Jesus. Mary wasn't happy. That's
no, no. there's a poignant bit where it's revealed that the records that Renton is actually selling are Bowie, Iggy and Lou Reed. So basically selling the soundtrack to Trainspotting. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, another little kind of tragic Easter egg, if you like, James. I just have written here Up the Bendix. That comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, that's
so
funny.
There's this fucking horrible Elwyn, something Curran, Mrs. Curran.
Mrs. Curran, I think it was, yeah.
And she started this show. She started show at Davy's funeral, where she's implying the only reason they had a full house.
House.
So they were in a flat,
got
a house because of their disabled son, or so she says. And now because he's dead, they should be fucking downgraded again to a flat.
Yeah.
And every time they meet him in the street, she has a bag of wash and she's gone to the laundry.
Up to the Bendix.
Yeah. So Sick Boy and Renton are always implying, you know,
up to,
as was par in all of Irvine Welsh books, that she's, you know, involving an anal sex, basically. We kind of see the last of Alison then, where she's fucked up her job almost, and certainly her relationship with this guy, who's a bit of a tool anyway. She's depressed about the whole HIV epidemic, and she actually tries to commit suicide herself. She slits her wrist.
Slits her wrist, yeah, I forgot that.
So another failed suicide.
Fucking brutal, lad. Just so well do it.
No, don't do it. But anyway.
You gotta do it, do it.
That's a whole new meaning to the Nike t-shirt. Just do it. But yeah, she's the latest character. That's another Welsh trait where a lot of characters wake up in a hospital bed. There's one or two that happens in this book and certainly happens with her, but she gets clean after this anyway.
She does.
I think she remains clean in Trainspotting. Can't actually remember.
No,
possibly not, though.
Not hanging around with these cunts.
No. Renton and Matty then rob.
Oh, this is fucking...
Cover your ears, buddy. Yeah. They rob a cat charity collection tin from a shop, from a poor old... She kind of reminded me of old Dolly up in the Croydon shop.
Oh, yeah. But wasn't there was a key that was kept out?
Yeah, so the two lads run up the flats, the fort they go to, which is where Renton was originally from. Yeah. This is a real housing estate, whatever you want to call it, called the fort. So called because it's built on an old fort. Castle Grayskull, if you like. that was James King impersonating Skeletor. Yeah, so Renton has the idea of dropping the tin off the top of the flat so it smashes because they can't get it fucking open. When they go up, they discover, the keys bow has been locked out on the balcony.
And a bird, and a bird fucking... what are they called? Where they keep birds? Bird. Avery.
I don't know, I don't think it's ovary. But the parents are basically, the whole house is... more for the birds to live in than humans. Yeah. But Keys both locked out in the balcony.
The mother has fucking birds living in her tits. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's basically a giant bird cage.
Yeah.
And this Elwyn, Mrs. Curran, is there again. And Renton winds her up by saying that they're after getting a bigger house down by the seaside.
Yeah.
But the cops are called in and they have to leg it. So I suppose you get another classic scene where Renton's running away from the authorities on foot. I don't think, Keysbow definitely couldn't keep up because he's a bit of a chokester.
Do you get the one where Mrs. Curran's husband has a heart attack?
We get to that. But basically they get caught here, Renton, Keysbow and Matty. And there is a small section where they're interrogated in the cop shop. Now, in my extensive research, a couple of people have said that one of the coppers that's interviewing or interrogating him here is none other than El Robbo from Filth. Now, I read it back again. Yeah. Filthy boy. I read it back again. He's not mentioned by name. I didn't pick up any real character traits, but sure, look, why not? We'll say it. Everyone fucking else from every other Welsh book is in this, so we may as well say that Bruce Robertson is. But basically, the long and the short of it is... Keysbow and Renton agreed to go into a rehab program to avoid jail time. Matty fucked that and just goes straight to jail. And then we get this.
Although, there's question marks whether he's a rat or not.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't actually spend much time in jail.
No, not that the lads can see. But basically, we get this whole section then, almost to finish off the book, or nearly, where Sick Boy, Renton, Spud are sent. Well, Renton goes into the rehab and the lads are already fucking in there. Swanee as well, and Seeker. So this is where the book, I wouldn't say it drags, but this is a long section and it makes you realize the book is fucking long. This
does drag.
It could have been its own short story, I think. This would have worked well as a kind of clever short story thrown into reheated cabbage even. It kind of breaks the flow of the book.
And it marks from the good part of the book to the shit part of the book.
Well, definitely. But there is some good stuff in it as well, I think. The group
sessions. There's a few bits, but there's too much.
Yeah. The group sessions are good. There's kind of this mixture of sneering banter between certainly Swanee and kind of the harsh truths that come out, with the characters. Your man that's running it kind of hits the nail on the head with a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're all just going through the paces. They don't give a fuck, really, It's almost like a series of Big Brother where they're all being tortured through withdrawal, but then as the days drag on, some of them, the contestants, just keep dropping out until Renton's kind of left there. And towards the end, Mikey Forrester comes in as well and kind of becomes friend or tries to become friends with Renton then because there's nobody else left. But Renton's out then as well. Although Renton forms a bit of a bond with Seeker while they're in there.
Oh, big bond, yeah.
Because of the weights room. So much so that even Seeker's advised them to get off the gear for definite and stick with the weights. This is despite Renton being a potentially big customer for him in the old drug dealing. But we get a lot of Renton's inner thoughts here. He's reading a lot of fucking books in there. He mentions James Joyce and F. Scott Fitzgerald an awful lot.
Which is all bollocks.
Well, he's an intellect who's totally out of place in his surroundings, that's for sure.
That's just shite. A fucking junkie.
Well, his views on literature, I suspect, are a lot of the view, Irvine Welsh's views as well. I'd say he throws a lot of them in there. But yeah, as you say, Swanee suspects that Matty is the rat.
He clearly was.
Yeah. And actually, we get a little bit of kind of that distorted writing style that Welsh had kind of patented in his early novels, you know, where with the different size font and whatnot. But in this, it's Renton kind of repeating sentences, but in the Scotch dialect, you know, where he says a word properly and then corrects himself to say it the way, you know, one of these characters was. I'm not really sure what the fuck he, other than he's kind of doing the intellectual way of saying it and then the way that makes him fit in with the characters around him.
The boys.
The friendship with Spud and Sick Boy definitely takes a knock then, though, where Spud hears Sick Boy slagging her off. And that's kind of the start of that, if you like. And Sick Boy's still fucking spreading this story of Alison pegging a lad.
Which is him.
Yeah, exactly. But he winds Spud up when he's leaving then by telling him, when he signs the card, he says that somebody loves him.
One of the nurses.
So Spud is going off thinking that he's had a romance right in front of him that he didn't take advantage of. This is where the two lads, Renton and Sick Boy, then write a fake letter from the council to the Currans in the forest. Basically telling them that because of some new scheme, some new initiative, they're going to have to bring an Indian family into their house.
Pakistani.
And this, as you say, causes the Da Curran to have a heart attack when he's down complaining to the authorities in the council. Yeah, Renton just has a series of entries from his personal diary in this. He mentions that he fucking stabbed a fella in school.
Yeah.
Chibbed him. Eck Wilson, as he's called. Again, this was mentioned in Trainspotting, but it's just, I don't know, it's just this out of character incident.
Very much out of character,
He's not a violent man, but I don't know, maybe it was something that he did to half impress Begbie, although Begbie wasn't around for this, but he got away with it anyway. The counsellor, as I say, kind of touched a nerve at Renton towards the end, basically saying that he didn't know the reason that he did heroin despite being so intelligent, and he's trying to wind up, not so much wind him up, just kind of make him realise you're too fucking good for this, but it's not going to work.
He's clearly not.
When they've all gotten out then, there's a small section where Sick Boy goes back to his mother's homeland in Italy. calls it a bit of a shithole, though. It's not a scenic part of Italy by all accounts. We got a kind of two tales of buggery then, one of success and one of failure. He's robbed the pages from Renton's diary when they were in the rehab centre. And this is where Renton basically admits that after the trip, the European trip with his college friends.
The woman he loves with all his heart.
Yes, he basically said goodbye to his girlfriend and then took her mate up to some park and bummed her. Yes. And Sick Boy is offended that he's not mentioned in the diary as he is basically Renton's sexual guru. He's also gotten an Italian girl pregnant over there. But he scarpers back to Scotland pretty quickly. So that's the end of that. And Renton would also admit this. He confessed what he did to Sick Boy and he has to pretend, she's shocked and surprised by this. When they get back to Scotland then again, or when he gets back to Scotland, he moves in with Spud. So this is the flat that I think he originally had
with Renton.
But when they fucked off down to London, Spud was living there with Matty. So you can imagine what a fucking cesspool it's turned into. And this is where Spud and him go out to a gig. So this is a fictional character. I've looked her up. I couldn't find anything on her. But she's kind of like this aging Dutch singer, Claudia Rosenberg, she's called. She sounds a bit like kind of Marianne Faithfull or something, one of these, you know, ones that was around back in the heyday, the 60s and 70s, and was riding all the top stars. But she's pretty old and decrepit now, on heroin herself. But she takes a shine to Spud.
Spud, oh my God. And after a pep talk from Sick Boy, tells him he has to ride her up the arse.
That's the only way to go with these experienced birds. It's basically like throwing a sausage up O'Connell Street. It to go.
Didn't work out so well.
No, it certainly didn't. Sick Boy says you have to ride her up the chalk box as her sweat pie, as he calls it, would be like the Grand Canyon. Sweat pie. Sure enough, as she has let her hygiene standards slip as well.
She stinks and everything.
There's Spud gets a bit of an odor when she undresses, which it's not a good sign when a smelly junkie can pick up on these things. But she's not happy when he attempts to basically ride her up the arse and fucking throws him out naked into the corridor of the hotel and fucks his clothes over the balcony. So this is a funny bit where he's kind of like Mr. Bean, where he's hiding his manhood with two bits of the dinner covers and going through the corridor, and then outside retrieves most of his clothes except his shoes and his socks, and then has to walk from wherever this fucking hotel is back to Leith in his bare feet because he doesn't even have enough money for them. Oh, he does get a bus, but he's barefoot the whole way. There's a bit of a case of mistaken identity in the prison with Begbie then. Where he had been told by Renton that, I think, is it Hazel?
Yeah, her father abused
him. Yeah, but he has the name slightly wrong and beats up some poor fucker who was only in there for traffic offences. So, but he just, justifies it going, if it didn't happen to him, it happened to someone else. And then the book kind of ends with them just kind of wandering around like fucking starving zombies because there's this drought going on, and then they must have walked for days because I don't think Leith is actually close to this where this Gorgie is where the chemical plant was based. But this is where the opium was, and they hatch a plan then.
Not a great plan.
No, certainly not, to break in that evening. And there's even somewhat of an explanation for the name Trainspotting from this, because they mentioned that where the plant was based had these railway tracks going through it, and it was also, built obviously for freight trains, but also to kind of separate by train tracks from the general area, keep out
the
fuckers, basically. Even though in Trainspotting there's this kind of section where Begbie's wino father says to them when he sees them, Ali is going, lads, you're going Trainspotting. But this is kind of a better explanation for the name Trainspotting, if you like. But anyway, as you say, they hatch a plan, and Renton's fucking gone and got a map and everything for this. He's really taking it seriously. Matty's having none of it all. He just fucking thinks, he's just horrible cunt. Yeah, he's just a whingebag. But they get planks and all to use to get over these fences.
But they didn't know, even if they did get over, they didn't know what to rob.
They didn't know what to rob. No. They didn't know where to go. But they're only in there about 30 seconds and the fucking alarm goes off and about 40 guards with dogs appear and they have to leg it back over. And of course, Keyes Bow is the last and he gets marooned because Matty basically either purposely or through purposely. Not giving a bollocks just lets the plank fall. So Keyes Bow's fucking trapped in there. And the two lads, Renton and Sick Boy, turn on Matty then. That's where they go to town on him, calling him a smelly, dirty cunt who robs clothes. And I think they mentioned as well, his whole problem with Keyes Bow throughout the book is because Keyes Bow rode his missus before they went out. And he basically is talking about how Keyes Bow has a big flute and he doesn't in that spot. His bird thinks flute. And of course, Spud tries to calm it all down and
he fails
miserably. And Sick Boy and Renton, Renton certainly has a bit of an existential crisis on the way home from this and realizes, this isn't good at all. So they kind of make a pact to never touch heroin again. And then the phone rings and they presume it's Swanee or somebody and off they go. And that's the end of it. So, that's it.
That's
it's quite a lot.
It is.
In terms of good writing, James.
So much.
Anything that jumped out at you? What did you have there?
I do love this bit.
Okay.
Begbie doesn't even notice. He's in his element. Particularly good at funerals in a way. A lot of psychopaths tend to be a support of bringing death and disparage on life's work. Then being somewhere like this must feel like a result. The job's already done and you can just kick back and relax.
So that was Renton.
And the next one?
Yes. Why not?
Tommy thinks back to the days at Leith Victoria Boxing Club with Begbie and Renton. How it had been not enough for one and too much for the other, which is right for him.
I like the quote. There's one in the rehab clinic. In the garden of eunuchs, even the gadge with the 2-inch cock can he help but swagger. And there's good foreshadowing of Renton when he overhears in the rehab clinic, your man Tom. I'm not too concerned about Mark in the long run. If he makes it to 26, 27, his sense of mortality will kick in. He'll shed this existential angst and he'll be fine. If he could just keep from ODing or contracting HIV till then, he'll simply grow out of his heroin addiction. He's too intelligent and resourceful. Eventually, he'll get bored with pretending to be a loser, which in fairness is pretty good description and actually is what happens with Renton. Yeah. What else have we got? Yeah, a couple of ones from Renton himself where they're deep into the old heroin taking. Fuck going into town, the mean back streets, where edgy club bouncers spar verbally with sly have-a-go drunks, cheered on by underdressed, goose-fleshed lassies with cries as shrill as seagulls. I've nought but a withering disdain for it all. Sounds about right there. Doesn't even matter if it's Mickey Platini or Franco Begbie, they will all just have to wait. And then later on he says, we're not human anymore. We've slipped out of our skins like lizards, shedding not just our pasts, but our futures. And just one last one, which I liked. This is when he's in college and he's talking about, you know, doing the books in literature and whatnot. Analysing novels meant ripping out their soul and it destroyed my enjoyment of them. I couldn't allow myself to be trained to do that anymore. Only by refusing to study literature are we able to maintain any passion for it. It's a bit like what we're doing now.
It's a little shite, yeah. Awful.
Disturbing bits.
Take your pick.
When do, yeah. Take.
I'd say the sick boy one where...
The pimping.
The pimping, no, you're where the fucking fellow murders her father and rapes her. That's it's
pretty horrendous.
It's horrendous.
Certainly, and I'd also obviously go for the fetus and the rubbish shit. That's not good.
No.
Thankfully, there was no real animal abuse in this. That's a plus.
It's strange.
The puppy ended up going to a good home, I think.
Yeah.
And I suppose I'll get into connecting lines, which will take a fucking while probably. So yeah, Nixie mentioned in Trainspotting, but has a pretty big part in this. I think he was mentioning Ecstasy as well in that flashback, as I said. Our Greek Andreas, he has the memorable line in the film Trainspotting.
All right.
When they're leaving the after the drug deal.
Is it Peter Andre?
Hmm?
He's Greek, isn't he?
Yeah. Stroke Australian.
Plenty.
Yeah. Fat Tyrone, Davy Power, as I said, was also in Glue. Begbie's uncle Gus is mentioned and his poor mate Dickie, who gets the shit kicked out of him in that horrible, horrible chapter, as I said. they're both mentioned in the upcoming Blade Artist book about Begbie. Cha Morrison, who is mentioned as a nemesis of Begbie in previous books, he's in this. And he also is mentioned as having stabbed none other than Larry Wiley.
Good old Larry.
Good old Larry from the Acid House.
Long ball, Larry.
Long ball, long ball, Larry.
Got long balls, Larry. Got long balls.
Begbie also mentions Lexo in this. And as we say, there's a vicious, vicious rumour that Bruce Robinson is one of the coppers that interviews them or interrogates them. Jean-Claude Van Damme is mentioned. Renton picks up a video box in Nixie's place with Van Damme on it and says that he prefers Chuck Norris. But him and Sit Boy, the very first chapter of Trainspotting is called The Skag Boys, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Mother Superior. And it starts off with the two of them basically watching a Jean-Claude Van Damme video. Alan Venters, who is the villain in the short story Bad Blood in Trainspotting, he comes into the rehab clinic. Morag Jamrag Henderson is mentioned in this. She'd been in school with the lads, and I think she was involved in some sort of sports day race with Renton or something in Trainspotting, but it was always her name that I remembered anyway. She's mentioned in this letter that he gets from Hazel when he's in the rehab clinic. And he also gets some good wishes from Ensign Carl Hewitt.
Oh,
the DJ bloke, who he ends up being his manager, of course, in porno or later than that. Gina, the fat junkie who was in the rehab centre. She's one of the prospective porn stars in porno upstairs in the flat.
Quite work out.
And another Morag, not Jamrag, but another Morag.
Piss rag.
She was the canteen lady in the joinery place where they were working.
Yeah,
yeah. She becomes the, not the landlady, but she's basically working with Sit Boy in the pub in Parno, in the Port Sunshine pub. And finally, Sick Boy mentions, while referring to Hazel, he says, "Cavoli riscalati," which is Italian for reheated cabbage, as they say in Italy. And as we know, mentioned many times on this, reheated cabbage is a collection of short stories that came out, I think, about a year before this book. So we will get to that one, won't we, James?
One day.
Final
not
thoughts?
Today.
No, definitely not today. Final thoughts on this book?
Game of two halves.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed the first half. Second half was shite. Just too,
really?
Too grim.
Great. Well, it certainly was grim.
It was too grim. It was just, I don't want to hear all that shit. It was just grim. Bad story after bad story after bad story.
Yeah.
The first half was good. It was funny.
Apart from that funny one with the
outfly getting battered. Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible. yeah, I really liked it, I'll be honest. I do get what you're saying, but sure, look, that's fucking Welsh all over, and that's the story he's telling here.
It usually has a comedy all the way through it. I didn't think there was much comedy in the second half.
Oh God, no. It was certainly not.
Shocking.
Yeah. I'd say that the rehab stuff almost could have been taken out.
Yeah.
It's good stuff in parts, but it could have been its own story, nearly short story. But I think you can kind of see what the parts were that he must have had on ice from when he was writing Trainspot. And I'd say most of it concerned Renton's early stuff and his kind of tragic transformation from this fucking uni going success story to a smelly junkie, basically. But the other stuff, like, he has a good character build in it. The other stuff with the other lads, there's no change. You know what I mean? It's more the same, but it's good stuff. Funny stuff, even though some of it is definitely horrendous. But there's no real revelations there. There's a lot of Easter eggs in this. Yeah, I fucking liked it, I'll be honest. I really liked it. I know what you're saying about it being depressing, but your look, that's what we're here for. We're all about the depression.
To depress people.
No, I don't. I mean, there's a lot of, prequels and sequels, whatever you want to fucking call them. They're hit and miss. Mm. But I think there's more success stories in literature than there is in films with those, because, you know, you don't have to worry about bringing back aging actors or CGIing their face so they look fucking younger or anything. I mean, they're not going to make a film of this with Ewan McGregor, are they?
Because you never know.
If they can do it with De Niro and The Irishman, they can do it with anything. But no, I did. I liked this. Marks out of five?
For the first half, four. For the second half, two.
Okay.
So we'll give it a three.
Three. Okay. Good. I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5.
I go away.
Definitely, yeah. No, I really like this. I thought this was a serious return to form for him in terms of the books that would have been written around this time. I mean, Crime was just before this. Crime's okay. I can't remember what I gave Crime. Wasn't bad.
It was depressing as well.
I thought this was a great book, I have to say. So I would go 4.5 gigawatts on the Junko scale. That's fucking pish, I think. Thank Christ.
I think I wears your cap. My head just exploded.
Really?
Yes.
He does have his arse in your face. That's what you get for blowing productively into a bottle in front of him.
That's true.
But as we haven't decided what we're going to do next, but we'll definitely let you know.
And we'll do something.
On our social media feeds.
Everywhere. We're all over the social medias.
And we'll try not be too long about that as well. But we hopefully won't be, because the next book, whatever we read, will not be as long as this.
Couldn't possibly be.
So, and we've always got a few.
The Bible will be fucking short on this.
New Testament or Old Testament?
I like Testament about it.
What about the audio book that Homo was listening to? He did them all there.
Yes.
But stay tuned, junkies, junkaholics, junkamaniacs. We will be back.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Yes.